Father, again, we thank you for that which in turn serves our soul. We thank thee for the Word of God, and we thank you for songs when there's words that can bless us, and then the music actually adds to that which in turn can bring the stillness of our heart and the joy of our heart as we think about you. Lord, I can't imagine what heaven's going to be like, but I believe when we get there, we're going to hear songs that will just stir the new body, the glorified body, in such a way we can't even imagine. And we thank you for the book. Now, we ask as we open again tonight, help us. Lord, this is valuable time. This is people's lives. I don't take that for granted. And just to be here for some, you know, type of meeting and not feel the presence of God and not learn something is not worth the time. So please bless the time as we try to redeem it and teach the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. If you will, please take your Bibles and turn with me over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And I want to read a couple of verses from there. And then we will go to Joshua and read a verse and then get the message and get out of here by midnight. Amen. Look, if you will, we'll go back up and start with about verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Every time I read that, I think about our day. I guess we live in the most temptation day that we've ever lived in to the flesh. It's certainly more tempted now than ever. Not that flesh had never been tempted before, but used to, you had to go certain places to be tempted. You can just be anywhere now and be tempted. That's all there is to it, because of wickedness in this world. And he said then, when your lust is conceived, bring forth sin, and sin, when it finished, bring forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. So we know he's talking to his parishioners here. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I love that. With whom there is no variableness. He doesn't vary. He doesn't change. He doesn't sway. He don't say, well, you're partially right, or, you know, a third of it right. You're either right or you're not. There's no variableness. There's no variableness in any time in time that God has anything to do with humanity. And he says, and of course, in eternity either. And of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Amazing. The word of God's what draws us, as the Holy Spirit used that to the Lamb of God. And he says, we become the kind of the first fruits of his creatures. Now, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man, watch this, and here's my text. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Most people are slow to hear. Amen? Then he says, slow to speak and slow to wrath. Most people are slow to hear and swift to speak and swift to wrath. Right?
That's right.
Don't throw nothing at me now. Don't throw nothing at me. Because it's amazing how God hits right on the nail how we are as human beings. We can try, but it's amazing. Over in the gospel, in Joshua, read in Joshua chapter 1 and down verse 8, he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein for thee. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. To know God's will is to know God's word. If I look in Colossians chapter 1 and read to you verse 9 and 10, it says this, for this cause, Paul said, we also, since the we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I love that. In the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and understanding. So God says to me, if I'll give the time and I'll spend with him prayerfully in this book and do my best not to want to find something to make me seem right, but find something that God says, if I do, will be right, and not just come up with something in my own, you know, type of words, or come up with something in my own egotistical ways. He said that you'll be filled. Paul said, I pray, desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all blessings, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And folks, one reason I study so hard is the fact I want you, when you come, to know that God's presence is here, but increase in the knowledge of God. And if God will give you a spiritual nugget about something in life, and you go home and study it by yourself in your daily devotion, you'd be surprised how well we all would grow in the Lord. And when I think about Joshua, when God says that this the book of the law was not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do all according to what is written therein. For then, I love that, thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Somebody says, a waste of time. No, it's not. He said, then shall ye make your way prosperous, and notice, and then shall have good success. Here, one or the other, one either accepts God's word or rejects it. When we hear the hearing, we either accept it or we reject it. God is the invisible being who's supernatural, revealing himself to a visible world. And to do so, there are certain ways that he tries to channel that. I never understood why he would use us as human beings, especially even the church, God's people, to give the gospel out, but he did. It is our responsibility to do that. It is our responsibility to know this book and then teach, as God tells us. He gives these, in Ephesians, the different gifts to the church, that they in turn may be able to grow in grace and knowledge, and also learn to discipline themselves and some other things as far as he says in that book. So here we see, as we zero in on James and look up in where God said through James, wherefore, my beloved brother, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And by the way, every man means every woman too. Amen. So when I think and zero in this verse, there's some great things. I see some principles here that God gives me as an individual to learn that helps me in my Christian life. And I say again, I either accept what God says or I reject it, and God help us to accept it. You know, God wants our life to count for him. In James chapter 4, in verse 14 and 15, he says this, whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. He said, we have such a short time in life, we should be asking if it's God's will to do this or that. And he teaches us in verse 17, he said, go now, we're not to boast ourselves of tomorrow. Go now, ye that say today or tomorrow, because he quotes Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1, not to boast ourselves of tomorrow. We don't know how quick we're going to leave this earth, but we know we're going to leave this earth either through death or to the exit or through the rapture. So God wants us a life to count for him. Now, I thought about Peter is a good example of all of us. Here, James said, God sets forth a principle for us that we are to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And yet I look at Peter, and Peter was very swift to speak. You see, to start with, he was swift to hear, slow to wrath, and slow to speak, I should say. Peter was that way. And you look at his life. When he got in different situations, Peter was slow to hear, swift to speak, and swift to anger. But God wants us to be swift to hear. It's amazing. Reverses it. Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I wonder why? Because if we find ourselves swift to hear what God has to say and take it in and study it like we should, then these other things. When a person finds themselves slow to hear and swift to speak, we speak before we should, before we know what to speak about. And Peter was bad for that. He didn't rebuke the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? Someone would say, well, I wouldn't intend to do that. But Peter would do that. And the Lord said, Peter, that's not you, that's Satan. I'm glad the Lord sees beyond what we do sometimes and know that it's not really in our makeup to do those things at the time. So God wants us to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I seen a sign here not long ago that said, temper is too valuable to lose it. Angry against sin gives strength to fight it. And we must not get angry at God's word when he tells us things that cuts against the grain. Did you know to get angry at God's word would be like a person going to the hospital and the doctor says, this is bad, wrong with you, and you get angry with the doctor because he tells you the truth about a situation in your life. No one would do that. If you had something, you know, I can just imagine. Can you imagine having a gallbladder situation or having an appendix erupt and the doctor say, you know, I'm going to have to operate on you because your appendix erupted, and you say, doc, yeah, don't give me that information. And you don't take the information at the time because it goes against the grain. No use to get angry with the doctor because he's telling us the truth about a situation, is there? And no use to get angry with God either. Said, I don't. Well, if you get discouraged sometimes because something goes against the grain, then that will make you in an attitude towards God that should not be that way. And so against every sin, give strength to fight it. We are to take heed in Matthew 4:24. Jesus said, what you hear. And then he said also in Luke 8:18, also take heed how you hear. I'm to take heed what I hear, and I'm to take heed of how I hear. And of course, we understand that. What I hear, I need to take heed and make sure it's right. And then I should not repeat if it's not right. God gives us that instruction to do things like that. Now, I also think about, you heard the story of the fella, three old-timers are retiring. He was playing golf one day, and he was on the golf course. And one of the fellers said, you know, as he's playing golf, he remarked, he said, boys, windy isn't today. And the other fellow said, no, it's Thursday. And the third fellow said, yeah, bring me a Coke, too, when you get one. Amen. It's a matter of what we understand in these words. Let's look, first of all, swift to hear in James 1. What does he mean by that? The voice of God is the word of God. In Matthew 13, verse 9, God said, who has ears to hear, let him hear. In Revelation 2 and 3, the Bible says, you know, such, he says to hear what the Spirit says unto the churches, numerous times in those two chapters. So we ought to be hearing what God says to our heart spiritually from this precious book. So swift to hear is the voice of God. Where is the voice of God? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, God's never come to me at night and talked to me verbally, but I've sure seen it here. This entire book is the voice of God. Now, just as the servant is quick to hear the master's voice, or just as sure as a mother is quick to hear a baby's cry, so the believer should be as quick to hear what God has to say and be sure he keeps it in context. Because fighting the understand out of context would cause a lot of deception. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to hear it in Matthew 7:24-25. Hear his words of comfort. Hear his words of challenge. Hear his words of chastisement. Hear his words of judgment. We're supposed to study the word. Study it by reading it. And Paul said in 2 Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. We should study it by reading it. We should study it by meditating on it. That's what God said about Joshua in the Old Testament, about meditating on it. We should study it because in a systematic order, so we can put it together systematically. God, the Bible's not written systematically. You need to read through, and then God will help us put it together systematically so we can understand it. That's one of the privileges the child of God has. The world can understand this book. Someone said recently, well, anybody in the world can read it, yeah. But it'd be no more than just reading any other thing. In fact, most people in the world try to read this book, get tired of reading it because they say it just don't make sense. And then most time you hear this, well, I love to read it, but I don't like all them genealogies. Well, genealogies don't mean a whole lot unless you know what they're there for. And boy, when they're there for, it makes the book read real to you, as even reading the genealogies in the Chronicles and other places that time. So we're to study it by systematic study. And then God teaches we're to search the Word of God. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 39? He said, search the Scriptures. Why? For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are, who what? The Scriptures are they which testify me. And then he told those Jews, he said, and you will not come to me that you have life. Search the Scriptures. In the Scriptures is life. And if you search the Scriptures and you find that life that's there, for that is in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You think they have it, and it testify of me, and when you hear it, you won't come to me that you might have life. And he teaches us we have to study it to answer that for those who don't understand it and try our best to read the Word of God in their hearing. Search for the hidden truth. Search for the Christ commandment. Search for the help and encouragement that can come to you first and to help others in situations. Then we're to believe the Word of God. Believe the word of God in Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I'm talking about this thing of what we're learning, the principles that James is talking about here, swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. We believe God's word. Believe its teaching. Believe its challenges. Believe its promises. We're to obey God's word. God teaches us to do that. Obedience is better than sacrifice, he tells us. In James 1:22, he also said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. That always used to get me when I'd read it. I'd be doing things that, and you know, just going to church and so forth, and I, once in a while, I'd be in a Bible study. I'd find myself looking at some things in the scripture, and then suddenly I'd come across that and be doers of the word and not hearers only. When a lot of times I was hearing more than I was doing. That's the way I was. I'm sure you weren't that way. I'm sure you're not. That's the way I was. And I found out, hey, I need to be doing something too. And I found out when I learned and did what I learned to do, it amazes me what God does. How he really floods your mind and thoughts. I think about now, just about every message or everything I see of a message of any kind, my thoughts goes off into a channel to study. I'm studying so many channels now, I'm going to get lost in one of them these days and not be able to get back. That's all there is to it. There's just so many things that verses, some people speak about a verse of scripture, or somebody talk about a verse of scripture, or hear a message on a verse of scripture, and next thing you know, I'm jotting down for the purpose to run a trial run on that to see what God says for me, because you see, it becomes personal when you study it, so you see what it means to you before it said anything else to anyone else. Joy comes through obedience. Did you know that? Peace comes through obedience. Success comes through obedience. We're to hide that word of God in our heart. Psalms 119, verse 11. Says, hide it in our heart that we might not sin against God. Isn't it amazing? I don't understand all about this, but I know this. If I hide this in my heart, I'll come less sinning against God than if I don't hide it in my heart. Wonder why? Because this is a powerful book. Wonder why? Because the Holy Spirit would take this book in my heart and bring things to my mind that I wouldn't come there if I didn't have the Holy Spirit. Why does the Holy Spirit got to work on that this book is not hid in my heart? If it's not hid in your heart. The Holy Spirit comes in, but what has he got to work with if it's not hidden in our heart? The Holy Spirit could speak to us by himself, all of it. He won't. He'll bring up what he said in our heart, and then that's when God will bring conviction, and God will bring misery, because you're the Word of God. You can't, you and I, that's the most powerful. Jesus Christ is the living Word. And the written word tells us about the living Word, and no other word tells us about the living Word except the written Word in the age of grace. And so the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. God gave us that as a down payment. And then we hide the Word of God in our heart, and you begin to try to do something against God intentionally until you soften his voice, until you drown out the voice and continue it. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, it's very easy for us to be doing something, and we start doing it. And the first time we feel guilty, the second time we feel guilty, the next time we feel guilty, the next time we don't feel quite as guilty. And about the 20th time, you don't feel quite as guilty. And about the 30th time, there's no guilt at all. Why? We drown out the message of God that the Holy Spirit said in us. And that's not the way it should be. And so we're to be swift to hear. And God teaches us, that is, we need to hide the word of God in our heart. It'll strengthen us against sin. It'll strengthen us against temptation. It will strengthen us against Satan. We're to be swift to hear the plan of God. The plan of God. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6, a beautiful verse of scripture where there's Solomon said this, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on thy understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Did you know that's a promise of God? That is just as real as John 3:16. For the child of God, this is just as real. Lean not, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on thy own understanding. That's the reason this book needs to be hid in our heart. That's why the Holy Spirit don't come to us to try to lean on our understanding. We have to lean on his understanding. He said, in all thy ways then, all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. It is strengthened against Satan and against temptation. We need to know the plan of God. Remember God's plan. Remember God's will. What is God's will to start with for a child of God? He loves the world. He's not willing that any should perish. Take the gospel and take it to the world. That's the first thing in God's plan. For every child of God in this life. And if you don't get that off, then you're not the foundation, not right. Remember God's command or his word. Redeem the time in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. Use the time wisely. That's what redeem means. Buy it up. Use it wisely. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 And verse 10 says, do what you can do before you die. That's really what it said. You can't do anything for God after you die, so do what you can do for God before you actually die. Redeem the time. Use it wisely. Be helpful. Be devoted to God and His Word. Always represents Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, by the way, it didn't say, God didn't say that you're an ambassador. You're not one. You are. He said every one of us are ambassadors of Christ. A preacher, the evangelist, the missionary, the wives, the Christian, whoever they are, while we're here in this life. This is not a home we're passing through. Encourage the discouraged. Cheer the lonely. Comfort the sick. We're swift to hear the commands of God. Listen to those. Resist temptation, see Ephesians 5:16. Do not play with temptation. Stay away from temptation. God cries out there. Be swift to hear that in turn we might check Satan when he makes temptation look so good and say, well, this shouldn't really matter. After all, you know, this is not as bad as what I've seen done. We need to just resist it if possible, and God will bless us for that. Do not play with it. Rededicate yourself when needed. In Romans 12, 21, I beseech you to present your bodies. Romans 12, 1, I beseech you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Give your life to God. Give your talents to God. Surrender to Him completely. And when you do, these things will take place as you're swift to hear. Then when you talk about slow to speak. In Psalms 19 and verse 14, the psalmist said this. In Psalms 19, I'll get there in a minute, verse 14, he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be accepted in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? That'd be our prayer today. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, as he said here, be accepted in thy sight during this day. I meditate on your word, Lord. Now let the words of my mouth and also and the meditation of my heart be accepted to thee. In James 1, he said, be slow to speak. Now, God must have meant that because we have two ears and one mouth. Wonder why? You say, well, you know, the mouth's just one out front. Well, he could put the ear up here as good as he could hear. You know that? But he put it on each side of the head. Looks better there, don't it? Amen. So, two ears and one mouth. Evidently, we should listen more than we speak. I have a hard time with this one. I know you don't, but I do. Would you pray for me? By the way, you do too. This is one we all have trouble with, but it's a command of God. There's some reason for that, I'm sure. Maybe we don't know them all. In Proverbs 10, verse 19, the Bible says, he that refraineth his lips is wise. Too many times we argue with God's word, and we find ourselves not slow to speak like we should be. Gossip falls in line here. It amazes me when I learned something years ago. I got stung one time, many years ago, early in my ministry. Now, when I go somewhere or another and meet in my wife and I, or if I'm by myself with a pastor, at times we get a chance to eat out with families. And when I do, and I find out the pastor's not going, I won't go unless I ask why the pastor's not going or have his permission, which is very rare. I will not go into a family's home in another church unless the pastor's permission, unless he goes in his family himself. Now, you say, why? Because I got burnt years ago by doing that. When I go somewhere or another, and this is where gossip comes in, like this. At times, I don't go to eat with one of the members without the pastor, again, being with me or giving permission, because this is good pastoral ethics. Because I've found out that if I go somewhere or another, someone in the church asks me to go to lunch and doesn't let the pastor know, something's going on. And I'm not there to try to settle problems. I'm there to preach the Word of God. Amen. And it's the only pastoral ethics that happens. Now, I don't know if anything's happened out here, but I'm just saying to you that amazes to me. I was in one time, I was asked to go, and I was in Virginia, I was asked to go out one day, and I thought the pastor was going to be there. The people said they were going to come by and pick me up. They did pick me up. I thought the pastor was going to be there. I didn't ask. I just thought automatically that's the way we do things, had always done things. And when I got to the place to eat and we had to start having lunch, I found out why. And I left pretty quick. And the reason for that is they wanted to vent some things that I did not need to hear. And I thank the Lord for giving me that. And so I made a vote, just like many times in my ministry, as I try and error, made a commitment to God that in the future I would not. Now, sometimes a pastor has something to do and he designates somebody, that's different. But at least the pastor has given me permission to go because I'm under his jurisdiction in his church, or he's going to be there with me and with my family at that time. I am not there to settle problems, nor to destroy the pastor by listening to a complaining member. Need to be slow to speak. And then finding fault should be slow to speak. One person said one time, I vent my frustration about my pastor to my guests in my home. In my home, I talk about who I want to. Not to me, you won't.
That's right.
Not to me, you won't. Because that shows there that somebody needs to go back and be swift to hear.
Amen.
Amen. Be swift to hear. What am I saying? I'm saying to you, we should try to do what God sets for us to do because God is the author of these things. We should be swift to hear and slow to speak in our life. Thank God Almighty for giving us instructions. To think before we speak gives us a lot better information and direction than to speak too fast. Amen? It does that. And I know that I'm guilty, and I know everyone in FCN is guilty. If you're married, I guarantee you, you've done this before. And it should not be. And therefore, when we think about it, we have to go to God and say, please, God, help me. Help me. We're in a busy world. We're attacked by every way possible. Sometimes, we're kind of like a little dog once in a while. I remember years ago, we was at a place in it, and this person had a dog. Well, it wasn't too big. Won't real small, won't real big, and just as gentle as dog you've ever seen. And a little person was playing on the porch with the dog, and just having the best time. Little girl, little baby, I don't know if it's a girl or boy, playing on the porch with the dog, having the best time in the world. And all of a sudden, that dog bit that little child, just out of the blue. And I said, "Why in the world? Why? I've never seen that dog do that before." And I was talking to a veterinarian one time. And I said, this dog had never done that before. And out of the blue, she bit this little child. And the child wasn't doing a thing in the world, just playing with it around it. And nobody thought any harm at all. And he said, listen, a dog is a dog. And he said, I'm going to tell you what, a dog can be the best thing in this world for a family. But a dog remembers. He said, he might have been somewhere else where someone else did something to him. And he didn't react. But he reacted to the child because he could do it better. Now, I would assume that he said that the master of the house probably controlled the dog and everything. But the little child couldn't. He said he might have got hurt. He might have got hit. He might have got, you don't know. He might have got bit by another dog. You don't know, somewhere or another. But at that moment, something triggered that in his instinct. And his instinct was to fight back. And he said, a dog will be a dog. A dog, any dog's apt to bite anybody anytime. Even though they'd be peaceful and may not bit nobody for years. So we're that way. We try to be calm, but when we find ourselves, it might be that hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, do you not think there's been times, let's analyze ourselves. We're talking about something now. There have been times that somebody at work had a hard day and they came home. And when they got home, the wife could have said, you got mud on your shoes, don't come in the house like that one day and everything had been fine. But this day, you come home, she say, hey, honey, how you doing? What do you want? You know what? You're striking out. Why? Because what happened at work? Aren't you glad you came tonight? Ladies and gentlemen, we're like the dog. We remember, and sometimes we can't do it where we're at, and out without even knowing, we have to say, I'm sorry. I'm glad God gives us those words, aren't you? I'm sorry. Forgive me. Why? Because we're creatures, even though we're in the image of God, and we react sometimes instead of act. When you react, you just act quickly. When you react, but when you act, you plan it out. And that's what happens here when it comes to slow to speak. Finding fault. Thank you. Thank God Almighty. And we should think before we speak. And then the last one is slow to wrath, which is anger. James 1:9. Proverbs 16 and verse 33. This is something that gets me too, because verse 32, Solomon said, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty." Man, isn't that something? "And he that make it ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." Oh man, if somebody, some soldier lead an army into a city and take it and lose very few men and take that, man, he's a hero. But God said in his word, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." Well, God must look at things different the way we look at it, doesn't he? And then he tells us also, as you look in chapter 14, verse 29, here's what he said. He said, "He that is slow to wrath is of a great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." Slow to wrath, slow to anger. It's amazing how that's what road rage is. You know that? You ever feel that? I'm sorry, folks. It gets me. It gets me. When I pull up somewhere or another and I'm waiting for a car to come and someone blows a horn by me to go ahead because they think they could get ahead of that car, that just tires me up, does it not you? Aren't you glad God forgives? I think about the person you heard, I'd have heard this before, the fellow who said he went to the post office one day and he said the person behind the post counter must have had some problems or something because he wanted to get a roll of stamps. And said the guy got the stamps and threw them at him. And he said he caught him. He just read, he was doing a job. He caught, he tried to catch him, didn't catch him. They fell on the floor. And the brother said to him, "What'd you do?" He said, "I put them on the floor. I got the stamp, put the money on the floor, and walked out." The guy had to go around the counter and get his money. I mean, we're talking about, you know, patient. Slow to wrath is patient. We need to be asking forgiveness. A boy riding in a car with his mother and dad one day, and the mother was driving. They got to a grocery store, and the dad got back in and started driving. And he started home, and all of a sudden, the boy spoke out of the blue, and he said, "Mother," he said, "can you tell me something? Why in the world that the idiots come out only when God, when dad is driving?" He was calling everybody idiots, you know, those things. Talking about forgiveness. And then wrath, we should love our enemies. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it? I read where there's a story, I don't know if it's true or not, said a fellow one night started home and he had a flat tire and it was pouring down rain. And he got out and found out his lug wrench was gone. And he got in a frenzy. I mean, he just couldn't imagine. He wished he had the person who had that lug wrench. He knew he put it back there. Someone barred it and didn't give it back. And it was pouring down rain. He saw a light down the road just a little ways, maybe, you know, just a couple, three or four blocks or so. And he decided he'd go and see if he had a lug wrench. And he started walking. He said, "I bet those people won't come to the door. It rains so bad tonight. I'd be out like this here." And as he talked and got to the door, and he knocked on the door, and a voice came on the inside and said, "Who is it?" And the salesman said something like this. He said, "Well, you know who it is. Why don't you keep your old lug wrench? I wouldn't have it anyhow." We can talk ourselves into a frenzy sometimes. You know, that's the way we are. You know, these things, this instructions pleases God. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The question is, and I close, can we do this? And I've asked myself seriously, God really touched my heart in the last few weeks when I'm looking at this. Can I really do this? You know what God did? He reminded me, said, "Son, what's your verse, your life verse? One of them. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And God don't speak to me verbally, but I want to tell you, this is a powerful book. Amen. And it's like God says to me, "You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you, yes. Then what makes you think you can't do this?" You know why? You don't take the time. You just don't take the time. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Father, bless us tonight as we look at this. This is as much important for us as anything else in this world. And yet there's not a one of us in here hadn't gone against these principles. Lord, they work. We know they do. But we're in a frail body. We're pushed on every side. We're constantly bombarded with everything that this world has to throw. We're not making excuses. At least I'm not. I'm just looking at reality, Lord. There's so much I've learned through the years of serving you, and I just pray. I'm glad that song goes, "You're still working on me, Lord." I'm glad of that. And I thank you for that, to know that God's Spirit moved in my heart. And these things sometimes are not good qualities as far as what God sees. He longs to see the heart in faith just say, "Lord, I want to be obedient to you. Please help me. When I fail, then I just come to you, admit it, and ask you to help me, Lord." And I think I'm a lot better now than I was years ago. I'm an innocent, Lord, and we fought for everything. But on the other hand, I pray that the latter years of my life would be more mellow, and yet at the same time, dear Father, somehow or another, love people in different ways than I've ever had before through the Word of God. Lord, I can't imagine what you see, and yet what we see. Lord, there's just people today that walk this earth, name the name of Christ, and have not one consideration of what shames you. They think that they've got you in a box, and that's where you are, and you're everything that they want you to be. Lord, I don't want you to be what I want you to be. Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. And I want it in Jesus' name. Amen.